Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. I'm your host, Dave Custy. Today on Healthcare and Its Future, my guest is Jen Burdett, Mission Delivery Specialist for the American Cancer Society's Road to Recovery program. Jen earned her bachelor's degree in secondary education from Clemson University. She joined the American Cancer Society in December 2006 and started as an ACS community manager organizing Relay for Life events in Carroll and Frederick counties. Her responsibilities grew to include managing American Cancer Society patient programs in Carroll County and the ACS relationship with Carroll Hospital Center. This included managing support programs and services of ACS at the hospital, such as Look Good, Feel Better, and Reach to Recovery, which is what we're going to talk about today. Jen also managed and organized the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk in Mount Airy, Maryland. Presently, Jen manages all of the volunteer-led patient services programs in Maryland, Washington, D.C. area, and Delaware. She recruits volunteers for the program, ensures that they are trained, ensures that the program is successful and meeting patient needs, that classes or rides are scheduled and coordinated, that volunteers have the supplies they need, such as the beauty supplies, wigs, and scarves for the Look Good, Feel Better program. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, Jen.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Give me a short little bio there.
Sure. I actually first got involved with the American Cancer Society as a volunteer many years ago. Cancer has always been a cause that's passionate to me. My mom was diagnosed with cancer when I was 10 years old and battled it for about 12 years. So it's something that's always been in my heart. And so when I was in college, I first became involved with the American Cancer Society through their Relay for Life events and volunteered for years. And then when there was an opportunity to become employed with the American Cancer Society, I took it.
So are you from here?
I am. I'm from Baltimore originally.
All right.
Yes.
And you went to Clemson.
I did. I flew south for college, but otherwise, born
that's,
and raised
that's
in,
another show.
In Maryland. Yes.
When you graduated from Clemson, mm-hmm. what happened then?
I have a degree in education, but I never actually taught. I've spent my entire career actually in nonprofits. I did an internship with a nonprofit, a local nonprofit in Baltimore, my summer before my senior year in college and just fell in love with it. So I took a job with that same nonprofit after I left college and worked for them for a number of years and then until the opportunity with the American Cancer Society came about. So.
Okay, tell us about your origins there at the American Cancer Society.
Sure. Well, when I first got involved, as you said, I was doing Relay for Life events, so I was primarily doing fundraising for the American Cancer Society, doing a lot of volunteer recruitment and management, and then just slowly progressed to add other aspects of the organization to my plate, so to speak, mm-hmm. and started working with Carroll Hospital Center as their staff partner and started working with our patient service programs that we offered through that hospital. And from there, it just evolved, and now I'm doing all patient service programs.
Well, how did that come about?
I took the position doing as a mission delivery specialist back about a year ago mm-hmm. now. We sort of realigned how we were organizing ourselves, and the position became available, and that was definitely the part of the job that I was most passionate about, and so I was excited to be able to accept the new opportunity.
Okay. Well, tell us about the Road to Recovery program.
Sure. So it is a volunteer program that utilizes volunteer drivers that donate the use of their time and their personal vehicles to get patients to their treatments. So the volunteers will pick the patient up at their home, take them to their treatment, and then drive them back home again when they're done.
And so how does this work? And they should contact you about it, and then what happens?
Yep, so the patients reach out to us. They call our patient service center, which is located in Austin, Texas, and we gather all the information from them on when the rides are taking place, where they need to go, where they live, how long their treatments will be, all of those details. And then we share that with our volunteers who live in that patient's area and match up the volunteers that way, see who's available to drive them to treatments on those days, and then the volunteers will take it from there.
What do you need to qualify to be a driver?
Have to be between the ages of 18 and 85.
That's a good gap there.
Uh-huh. Have to have a valid driver's license for the state that you're living in. You have to have proof of car insurance as well. You have to have a good driving record. We also run criminal background checks because obviously you're taking patients. We want to be very careful about who we're utilizing in the program. So, and then there's also some training involved. They have to do a 1 hour. The volunteers have to do a 1 hour training with us before they can begin driving, as well as the paperwork. Like I said, background checks and things like that.
And what does this 1 hour training involve?
It's actually for those who have internet capabilities. It's all done online if they have that ability, and it teaches them about the American Cancer Society, about all of our programs and services, so they do know everything that we can offer to patients because they are in the car driving with patients, and patients may share other needs that they have, so it gives them an opportunity to say, did you know the American Cancer Society can help you with that as well? And all of our programs are free. So so we want to make sure they really know all of the opportunities that are out there to help these patients. And then it teaches them about the ins and outs of the Road to Recovery program and what they can and cannot do, and how the process works, that sort of thing.
So what would you say that somebody who signs on as a driver will get out of this?
It's truly, our drivers who have done this for a long time share that it's just truly a really enjoyable experience for them. Oftentimes the patients will call us needing, you know, many rides over the series of weeks or months for their treatment. And so volunteers will form bonds with these patients and really get a chance to get to know them. They're another person for them to be able to talk with and share their feelings, share their journey with. A lot of the patients are very open to wanting to share their story and what they're going through. And the volunteers are truly providing a life-saving service. I mean, this is about access to care. If patients can't get to their treatments, that's going to affect their outcome. So the volunteers are really helping us.
So it's a real win-win situation there.
Absolutely.
So in terms of just the logistics of it, when a volunteer signs on and he's going to drive somebody there, does he wait for them to finish their treatment, or what happens with that?
It depends. We can be flexible in how we schedule it. So, for example, if a patient's getting radiation, that often takes 15, 20, 30 minutes at the most. So it doesn't make sense for the patient or for the volunteer to necessarily leave and come back in that short period of time. But if they're getting chemotherapy, they could be there all day. You know, it could be 6 hours. So often then the volunteers will leave and come back, or there's even situations where we'll schedule one volunteer to drive the patient there in the morning and a second volunteer to pick them up and take them home in the afternoon. So we work around the volunteers' schedules and what their availability is.
On the short-term ones, on the ones that do the hospitals have any kind of programs for, like, free ice cream for them or anything like that?
Unfortunately, I don't think so.
No, let's start that. We'll start with the funding for that.
Yeah. I think some of them have, you know, free coffee and things like that.
Oh, okay. That's very good. So you've been at it for a year yourself, right? And we kind of touched on it a little bit, but give us some of the feedback that you have from both sides.
Sure. I will say from the hospital side of things, they... It's hard to find a hospital that doesn't tell us that transportation is a huge need for their patients. It's not just in Baltimore. We're talking across the state, across the country. Transportation is a huge challenge.
It is across the world, really.
Absolutely.
When I was living in Northern Ireland a few years back, I saw the same type of program for their cancer patients, and that's actually where I came to see it for the first time. And they were saying the same thing. That it is really tough to find people to do that, because there's a lot of people out there that just don't have the access or the people to do this.
And truly, it's not, you know, we're talking about cancer, and that's the part we're addressing, but it's a need for dialysis patients that are having to get to treatments every day. You know, I mean, it's a larger problem than just cancer, but we're addressing the part of it that we can. But like I say, the hospitals pretty much across the board are sharing that this is a big need for their patients. So there are definitely more patients out there that need our help than what we can provide, given the size of our road recovery program right now.
Staying on the hospital side for a second, this is an American Cancer Society initiative. What do the hospitals do? What do they provide?
So we work very closely with the hospitals, of course, because they're the ones who are seeing the patients.
Right.
So they're the ones who are often letting the patients know there is this resource available called Road to Recovery through the American Cancer Society and referring the patients to us. In some situations, someone from the hospital staff is actually the ones who call and make the referrals even and get the rides set up. for them. So mm-hmm. we do have to work very closely with the hospitals to make this work. And in many instances, you know, the hospitals do recognize that this is a partnership and we are helping their patients. So oftentimes they're helping us try to get the word out about the need for volunteers as well through their channels.
So going on the driver's side, what kind of feedback have you gotten yourself in the last year from them?
As I shared, the drivers are definitely, they love the opportunity. They tend to stick around for a long time when they start volunteering with us because it is a very rewarding opportunity. But we don't have enough of them. So mm-hmm. they're very busy and they have limited time to give us, of course, as everyone does these days. We ask the drivers to drive for us at least twice a month on average. Mm-hmm. And so when we have patients that are calling us and saying, I have 6 weeks of radiation that I need rides for, you know, that's 30 rides. That's a lot for a small group of volunteers to do. So they're definitely happy to do everything they can, but we just need more of them at this point.
Yeah. There might be an uncomfortable factor in this when you're with a stranger who has an illness. I mean, what do you tell the drivers initially? I mean, you know, it'll turn out terrific. I'm sure you've got, like you said, you got a lot of feedback. But initially, to get somebody in there and say, oh, well, gosh, I don't know, it's somebody that's sick and, you know, they might be, you know, needy and this and that and the other thing. But, you know, once everybody gets to know each other, I'm sure it's never like that. But how do you try to reassure people?
It is. And I always tell them to keep in mind, one thing is that these patients are needing rides for a whole variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. So they may have family and friends who drive them to treatment as often as they can, and there's just a handful of times when they don't have somebody available. They may have a car, they may literally have transportation, but they're too sick and tired to be able to drive themselves. So these patients are coming from all sorts of backgrounds.
Right.
And we do often, in our new volunteer orientations, we do often have volunteers ask those kinds of questions.
Well,
have you ever had problems happen, or, you know,
It's uncharted territory for mm-hmm. them all, and so, you know, it's only natural. But I mean, like, I would say people come back and be drivers over and over again once they do it and get past that first.
And we do, when we were doing the last orientation and that question came up, some of our long-term drivers who were there shared that they've never once had a bad experience, and the patients are usually extremely grateful that they are getting this help and that they are getting them to their treatment. So it's pretty rare that you have a negative experience with mm-hmm. someone not just being very gracious and happy to have the help.
And I'm sure, you know, a lot of new friends have been made.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, we have many drivers who say they've kept in touch with patients after the fact because they've formed friendships with them.
Mm, that's terrific. Is there anything else you'd like to add about the program?
No, I will share that while we're talking about Baltimore, but like I said, it's a need that we have across the country.
It's worldwide,
and so wherever, Road to Recovery is an American Cancer Society program that operates nationwide. So wherever you are located in this country, we could probably use you in your community.
After this is completed, you'll have a link that you can use. So it'll be archived on my show here on Boulder Internet Radio. And, you know, possibly down the road, you come back to give us an update. And also maybe, you know, when I go live on some programs, we might be doing some forum, international forums, to kind of exchange ideas, maybe collaborations or something like that. How'd that sound?
Absolutely. Yeah, be happy to.
So we're going to transfer now from the Road to Recovery program to the Look Good, Feel Better program. Tell us a little bit about the evolution of that.
Sure. That's a program that helps women deal with the appearance-related side effects of cancer treatment. So we utilize volunteers who are licensed beauty professionals, typically cosmetologists and estheticians, who teach small group sessions for the women, helping them with skin care, you know, skin problems that happen during treatment, hair loss, nail changes, all of those sorts of appearance-related side effects that can come from cancer treatment.
And how does that work?
We partner with hospitals as well as some other nonprofit organizations that serve cancer patients mm-hmm. To host the programs. So the programs are primarily all held on site at a hospital where the patients are located. And so the hospital, of course, helps us get the word out about these classes to the patients. And they're held, it just depends on each hospital and what their patient needs are. They're often held on a monthly basis for the patients.
Mm-hmm. So, and how long have you been doing this program?
25 years. Oh, okay. We just celebrated the 25th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Feel Better this year. Yes.
So. And you've been a part of it how long?
I have been a part of it for 6 of my 8 years with the American Cancer Society.
So the same question in terms of feedback on both sides.
Sure.
It's been mostly positive?
It is. It's typically a class that the patients only attend once, although they certainly can come back if they feel like they need some extra guidance or their symptoms have changed. But in general, they attend once. It's a 2-hour class that they take, small group. It's usually anywhere from 4 to 10 patients in a class so that they can really get some one-on-one attention from the volunteers. And they receive a kit full of makeup and skincare products that have all been donated through the Personal Care Products Council Foundation to take with them. It's worth a couple $100s in products that they get to receive for free. And then the volunteers will walk them through how to use all of those products and teach them how to draw their eyebrows on if they've lost their eyebrows, or how to make it look like they still have eyelashes if they've lost their eyelashes. So it really helps tremendously with quality of life. I remember hearing a story about a husband who had come to one of the classes and, of course, wasn't sitting in the class, so he was waiting in the lobby while his wife was in the class. And his wife was sharing during the class that the husband just really wasn't all that supportive and didn't see why she really needed to go to this class, and aren't there more important things to be focused on right now, etc. And she came out of the class afterwards, and, of course, now she has her makeup all done up, and she may have, you know, a scarf on or have fixed her wig or whatever. Mm. And her husband started crying and said, "You gave me my wife back. You know, thank you so much."
All
and
right.
And realized that there is something to it. This is not just about putting on makeup.
Yeah, and just to make them feel better, too. You know?
Absolutely.
It's just a wonderful program, terrific program. Anything more you want to add about that program?
No, I mean, we always have a need for additional volunteers for that program as well. The class is led by a licensed beauty professional who goes through some training for us, but there's opportunities for general volunteers as well to come and assist with the classes, but not actually teach if they aren't necessarily in the beauty industry.
Well, that's two terrific programs, it sounds, on every side. You know, anybody involved, every participant, it
Absolutely.
Seems to be. Really beneficial for that. I'm sure that you'll be able to tell if people want to contact you, and you'll be able to tell them more detail about programs. Why don't you give us some contact info?
Sure. Well, our website for the American Cancer Society, if you're ever just looking for the American Cancer Society in general, is cancer.org. And we have a 1-800 number that anybody can call across the country 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can always speak to a live human being, and that's 1-800, 1-800-227-2345. But to reach me locally in Maryland, my email address is jen.burdett@cancer.org, and my phone number is 410-781-4316, option number 3.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having
Baltimore
me.
Baltimore Internet Radio. When we post this interview and we put it into the archives part, then we'll have a link for your website, too, so people can find out about that. Hopefully, people will call you up.
Absolutely.
And we'll keep it on a continuous basis because, of course, you know, people will need it all the time.
Perfect.
But I want to thank you for being here. This has been Healthcare and Its Future. My guest today has been Jen Burdett, the Mission Delivery Specialist for the American Cancer Society's Road to Recovery Program and also the Look Good, Feel Better Program. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
I'm Dave Gusty, and this is Baltimore Internet Radio.